So what's been on my heart lately, and what I want to bring across to you today is endurance. Endurance. The last time I spoke on the freedom and liberty in Christ. You know, we are free to do what we want, but are we putting ourselves under the bondage of sin, or are we stepping and walking into the freedom that's in Christ? And then what went along with that was the seeds. What seeds are we planting in ourselves? You know, all too often we look at the fruit, but we don't deal with the seed. You know, because the fruit's easy to see. You know, the fruit's easily recognizable, but seeds can slip their way in. You know, I love gardening, and every once in a while, you'll plant the seeds and you'll have something. You'll plant beans, and then all of a sudden you'll have a pea popping up. You know, I don't know where that pea came from, but it wasn't supposed to be in that bag of beans. You know, so we have to be mindful of what we're putting in ourselves, what we're planting in ourselves. Good seed, good fruit. Bad seed, bad fruit. And then Romans 2:12 was, be transformed by the renewing of your minds. And that's where we kind of ended off. And that's paraphrasing, of course, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. It starts in our minds. It starts in how we see ourselves. It starts in how we see our Savior. You know, we have to see Him as He sees us, and vice versa. He sees us in a way that I guarantee we're not grabbing hold of. Because He loves us. He wants the best for you. But how often do we get dragged down? Peter, let's look to the one who has our best interests in mind, right? Because unfortunately, this world most of the time doesn't have our best interests in mind. In our flesh, we are selfish, selfish, selfish people. In my flesh, I am a selfish person. I'll admit it. I was pretty selfish. And I still fight it, and we still fight it. And, you know, it's okay, but we got to keep fighting. But we need to look to the author and finisher of our faith, Jesus. So Strong's, endure. We may have heard this one before, hupomino. To stay under, that is remain. To undergo, that is to bear. To have fortitude. I love that word. Persevere, abide, endure, patiently, suffer, and tarry behind. That fortitude. That was a term we used in the Marine Corps. And it stuck with me forever. We said we need to have intestinal fortitude. Like it has to come from within you. That nothing is going to be denied you. You know, we were trained in a way where it didn't matter if you were the biggest. It didn't matter if you were the strongest. You were going to run through that wall. Because that's what you were told to do. By any means necessary, you were going to run through that wall. You were going to go up that hill. You were going to do what you were told, and you were going to accomplish the goal. This fortitude, it's an attitude. It didn't matter where we went. We were Marines. And people didn't mess with Marines. Sometimes they tried, and I'm not going to lie, it wasn't always pretty, but we had a reputation. We had an attitude. And we weren't picking fights. But when you think you're the top dog, people come looking sometimes. It was always the Army. I don't know what's the deal with the Army. But it was always the Army. You know? Air Force, Navy, we got along just fine. The Army, we just had something that didn't mesh there. But it didn't matter. I had friends that were this tall that just... they would pick out the biggest guy, and there they went. It didn't matter, because we were Marines. Who are you? I knew who I was then, and then it ended, and then I didn't know who I was anymore. You know, but who are we in Christ? What is our attitude? What is our mindset in Christ? We need to look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We need the mind of Christ. He is our example on how we're supposed to walk. Just like Jesus said over and over, I only do what I see my Father do. Or I only do what I see my Father say. That's the relationship Jesus wants with us. We need to be looking out and seeing people through His eyes. Handling situations through how He walked this life out. Because in Mark 10:27, I'm just going to read some quick ones here. Jesus, looking at them, said, "With men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible." Mark 9:23, Jesus said, "If you believe, all things are possible to him who believes." So get the reliance of this world out of us. We need to push that out of us. We are not of this world. We have an endurance that comes from Christ, and He is our example. Let's walk that endurance out, because more than ever, I keep saying it, and we're going to probably be saying this forever. Now more than ever, we need to figure this out. We need to grow up. We need to step into maturity. Because when things come crashing down, are you going to crash down with them? Or are we going to stand? Or are we going to have the mentality that I don't care what's going on around me? The Word of God is truth. The Word of God is life. I have promises. I have abilities that have been given to me because of what Jesus Christ did on that cross. Jesus wants this kind of relationship. He died for this kind of relationship. To where just like He saw the Father, we see Him face to face. The express image of Jesus. Do people look at us and see life, hope? Is that what comes out of our mouth? Like I said, let's veer away from condemnation. And let's accept the challenge here. I challenge you. Are we revealing ourselves as Jesus did? Or as Jesus wants us to? Because that's where our endurance comes from. I remember the What Would Jesus Do kind of movement there. The bracelets and the t-shirts and the hats. And, you know, it was good. Nothing wrong with it. But I don't think too many people knew what Jesus would do. So, you know, it kind of ended up flat after a while. You know, like, because where is it now? You know, sometimes you see the old worn out bracelet that somebody still wears. But, you know, as goofy as it is a truth. And I think it's a very important truth. We should be emulating our Savior. And it comes through relationship. It's nothing that we can do. In ourselves, it's impossible. With men, it's impossible. With our own minds, with our own abilities, it's impossible. But with Jesus Christ, all things are possible. All things. And that's that mentality that needs to start turning and needs to start growing in us, that all things are possible. Because when I'm in relationship with Jesus Christ, what He wants is what I want. And then those all things become really easy. When I see things the way He does, and I see my path the way He sees it, it's so much easier to walk out. It seems very blunt and very easy, but sometimes we gloss over the easy things, and we're always looking for the deep things of God, and we always want to go deeper and deeper and deeper. But do you even know who you are? Do we even know what we possess? I think far too often we don't. And we are missing out on life. We are missing out on fullness. Jesus endured hostility. He endured the cross for us. I mean, I don't think we meditate on that as much as we should sometimes. The Creator of this world, and I'm sure you've heard me say it before, but He holds everything together with His Word. His Word holds everything together. There was only one way to justify, to redeem man, and that was for Him to come as a man. And when he came, he was rejected by his own creation, the creation that all he wanted was relationship with. He wanted to walk in the cool of the garden with them again and talk. You know? It wasn't this law stuff anymore. He wanted true relationship again, where we could come boldly before the throne of God. And he came and he was rejected. One of the lessons there is we can't go by emotions. Because if Christ went by emotions, none of us would be here right now. Because none of us deserve anything. But he loved us so much that he came. He suffered. He died. He rose again. He went to hell for you. I mean, let's run this through our minds, because that's what builds me up. That's the stuff that I put in my heart and I say, he loves me, he loves me, he loves me, and then I can. And then it fills me up and it moves me forward and then it affects those around me. But where is our focus? What are the seeds that are being planted in us? Where is our endurance? When these times come, are we just crumbling? You know, and I've been there. I was weak as all, you know. Physically, I was strong. You know, the Marine Corps did a good job of that. And I'm still a really good pack mule. I can haul stuff and for long distances and heavy, and like I'm good at that. But my mind, I was so weak. So fragile, so any little thing just tore me down. That's because I didn't know what Jesus thought of me. I thought I knew what he thought of me. You know, we get these preconceived ideas of how, of just anything in the Bible. And then we latch on to them for some reason. Even though they're not truth, we latch on to them and they're like a leech and they just suck the life out of us. And that's what it did to me. And I struggled. Thank God for his mercy. So how do we endure like Jesus? And I believe the key is found in Hebrews 12:2 there. Let us look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. The joy that was set before him. What a powerful, powerful passage. He looked to the cross and he saw you. He saw me. The joy that was set before him. He saw salvation. He saw redemption. He saw a life worth living for us. He did this all for us. What an amazing God we serve. But for the joy set before him, he was looking ahead. Looking ahead, seeing what was coming. He knew it was coming. And I can't imagine that thought. He knew it was coming, yet he went. He still went. His endurance was found in love. That's where his endurance comes from. He is love. Love sustains. Love keeps you moving. Love keeps you going forward. He endured the cross because he loves us. Because of the joy that was set before him. Luke 9:51. And it came to pass, when the time was come, that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. So his time is up. It's coming. And he set his face. There was no turning to the right or the left. He knew what he was here to do. He had a purpose and a goal. And he set his face. And there was nothing that was going to stop him. Nothing. Because Satan sure tried. But do we have this endurance? It's in us. This endurance is in us. It abides in us. Are we walking in it? Are we letting him move it through us? Are we letting Him move us along? Are we trying to do this in our own strength? Stop doing it in your own strength. You know, you see people struggling around us, friends, family, they need to know they can't do this in their own strength. Because it just ends up in failure. So I kind of made my own version of those last two verses here. When it was time for Jesus to be delivered up, He saw the joy that was set before Him. Salvation, deliverance, relationship. And He steadfastly set His face to go to Jerusalem. That's awesome. Like, Jesus should bring us joy. The thought of the Word, the thought of what Jesus did for us should bring us joy. And if you're feeling anything else, cast it out. And begin to praise and begin to thank God for what He did. We'll get to that in a little bit. But endurance, it's a mindset. Jesus had a mindset that He was not going to be deterred. He was not going to be denied. And it wasn't easy. Because what? He sweat drops of blood. So there was a fight going on there. Doesn't mean we're not going to run into fights. Doesn't mean we're not going to run into battles. Even Jesus went through temptation. You know, even before He went to the cross, He was sweating drops of blood because I'm pretty sure He knew what was coming. A sinless man taking on the sins of the world. Sins that would disfigure Him. You know, it talks about He was unrecognizable as a man. And I don't know that was just from the beatings. I can't imagine you look right when you take on the sins of the world. Because what's the sins of the world? Disease. He took all the disease. You know, I mean, just mentally, the stuff we deal with sin mentally will change our figure, let alone physically. And this is what He knew was coming, aside from the beatings, aside from the scourgings. Look up at what a scourging is. It's brutal. Brutal, brutal, brutal. But He set His face. He was not going to be denied. And endurance doesn't always come with pain, but sometimes it's just being quiet. Because what did He do when He went before Pontius Pilate and the Pharisees? He shut His mouth. Sometimes just standing firm and not saying a thing is endurance. Right? I know the right thing. I know the truth. I should have an opinion on this, and you should hear my opinion. You know? But sometimes just, and this was a revelation for me a while ago, but sometimes just being quiet and letting what's going to happen, happen. You know, because at any time, Jesus could have stopped this. He had the power to do it. I mean, He created everything, so He could have just stopped this at any time. Yet He went forward for the joy that was set before Him, for us. He saw us, and He kept going and going and going to hell and back. And now He's seated at the right hand of the Father. He's given us all these things, this endurance. He's giving us all the examples we need to walk this life out in fullness and in victory. Not to say that there's not fights, but we overcome, do we not? Whether it's in this life or the next, we overcome. You know, what happens if you don't see the victory you're standing on in this life? What happens? Is He still God? Do we have enough endurance and fortitude to say, even if it doesn't happen in this life, I get eternity with You? Or do we let something like that rock us? What if we don't get to see the vision for this valley come to fruition in our lifetime? What if? Was it all worth nothing? No, because we're here to build and prepare. We don't stop just because we think the end is coming. We don't stop just because things are getting hard. Stand up and fight. Stand up and fight. Look ahead at what we have. Is it worth fighting for? And I say yes. I say yes. Stand up. We're not wussy little Christians. We have the Creator of the world dwelling inside of us. What more do we need? But up here, are we there? Are we letting Him get us there? Because we can't do it on our own. But it's relationship with Him. It's relationship with Him that's brought me from where I was to where I am now. And I can't wait to see what's going to happen. And I don't care if I don't see the vision for this valley. Now, what if my kids get to see it? And what if I don't prepare my kids? What if it's meant for our children? Do we let selfishness come in? Well, if I don't get to see all the cool stuff, I don't really want to be a part of it. Or do we prepare? Or do we keep going forward like it's our last? Or do we keep fighting like it's our last? And do we keep fighting for what the truth of everything is, and that's Jesus? Fight for Jesus. Fight for what He's done for us. Fight for the relationship that He wants for us. Jesus, 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 Jesus. He's good. He wants good things. That same love, that endurance, that perseverance, the determination, all of it abides in us. It's all there. Just waiting for us to look to Him. Look to Him. He wants good things in our lives. He wants us to experience peace no matter what's going on around us. I'll use the example, and it's not an original example, but there's a whole lot of prophecies going on right now. Whole lot of prophecies. And hard times are coming. Hard times are coming. I don't think you need to prophesy that hard times are coming. I think we can all see it. But they're there. They're there. What's rising up inside of you? What's rising up inside of you when you hear these? Is it the Word of God? Or is it fear? You know, prepare, 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 prepare. What if I don't have a lot of money to prepare? What if I don't have thousands of dollars to get my prepping done? And have my food stocks, you know, built up and my ammunition built up? And what if I don't have that? What do I have to rely on? The Word of God and His promises. Do His promises fade just because there was a prophecy that there's hard times coming? Are His blessings untrue? When we hear prophecies that hard times are coming, no. If anything, that should stir us up and get us ready. Because it's not always it's not physically. God shall supply all my needs according to His riches and glory. You can't leave that out. But I know my needs are provided for. And just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you stand up there, and even if I don't see those needs met in this life, I'll see them to come. I mean, they stood before Nebuchadnezzar and just insulted him. I love that story. We don't care what you do to us. We're not going to bow. But that was a mentality. They knew who they served. They knew. So when we start hearing all this stuff going on around us, and we spend too much time on YouTube, and we fill ourselves up with all this stuff, what is it filling you up with? And this is not condemnation. This is a challenge. Accept the challenge. Don't confuse the two. There's a difference. There is. But what do we believe? What do we believe? Do we believe that He is more than enough? Do we believe that He even loves us? Yes, healing is for me, but do I believe that He thinks it's for me? You know, we can go down the line. Prosperity is for me, but I just don't know if God loves me enough to prosper me. I've seen the people that He does love because they're prosperous. You know, we can go down these silly we can go down these silly little roads and we can just defeat ourselves. You know, we need to believe that it's for us. You have to believe it's for you, not just for other people. It is for each and every one of us that has accepted Him as Lord and Savior. Each and every one. Every blessing, every promise is for you. Don't sell yourself short because you're living in the past or because you think you're not worthy enough or whatever. Get it out. You're worthy. He died for you. You were the joy that was set before Him. Think about it for a while. You were the joy that was set before Him. And smile and take it in. It's okay. He loves you. We can smile when we think about Jesus. We can have joy when we think about Jesus. We can worship and adore Him for what He did for us. And it should be just filling us. Filling us, filling us. It's Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. So John, I have this written down, so I'm going to read through it quick. John 14:12. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me will do the works that I do also, and he will do greater works than these because I am going to the Father. I believe the greater works starts with this mentality. We're not going to see the greater works if I don't see myself doing the greater works. He's put the power in us. Right? If I don't ever see myself stepping out of my flesh and doing those greater works, I'll tell you what I see us doing. I see people coming in here and stretching out hands. And them being healed. I see it. I see it. I see it. I see it. I see miracles. I see people being filled to maturity and going out and affecting those around them. I see it. Close your eyes and see something else. If I look at myself, I don't see a whole lot. But close your eyes. You know, when Jesus did the miracle of the fish and the bread, He looked up. I don't think He was just looking up to the sky. He was looking up into the spirit realm, seeing it the way it's supposed to be. How do we see ourselves? As just these failures that can't do anything, that, you know, that stuff passed away with the prophets or with the apostles or baloney. That's my nice word. I've come a long ways. But how do we see ourselves? Do we see ourselves loving people enough to get them in the door? Whether it's this door or the door of your house to disciple them and bring them up. Do we care enough? Do we look at what's going on in the world and do we see them through the eyes of Christ? There was a time where I did not. And there was a time where I'd be stocking things up right now and preparing for the big one. I really loved doomsday preppers. Loved it. But I see them now and just my heart breaks. Because man, what the love of Jesus could do for these people. Because what has the love of Jesus done for you? I know what it's done for me. He wants that for them. And whether or not they choose it is up to them. But it's up to us to let them know. Jesus uses us. But what is our mindset? Do we have the mindset that we're going to keep pushing through even if we are rejected 1,000 times? Because what happens if 1,001 says yes? Would Jesus still have done it if only one said yes? I believe so. Because that's it. He is love. He can't be anything other than love. He is our example. We are the express image of Him. Are we showing that to others? Will we be denied? Will we grow weary? Or will we stand up and charge through that wall? Will we have the fortitude? Will we have the mentality that I will not be denied? Even when it hurts, because man, it can hurt. It can hurt. But when you get to the other side and you experience that victory, those hurts just fade away really fast. It's not about that anymore, because you've tasted. You've tasted and seen that the Lord is good, right? Because of these victories, we taste and see that the Lord is good, and then it builds us up and keeps us going forward. I was doing a competition when I was in the Marine Corps, and they love to inflict pain. And so we were up for 54 hours, and we were marching and marching and marching, and people heard, my friend swore he saw Jesus leaning up against a tree, waving at him. We were in the middle of nowhere. I heard music playing. Weird things can go on when you're experiencing the limits of your body and the limits of... But it didn't matter. We weren't going to be denied. We didn't care if we had to drag each other across the finish line. We were not going to be denied because we were better than them. Whether or not we were, I don't know. But in our minds, we were better than anybody we were going to come up against. And we won. We lost 2 people out of 15. Some squads were down to 2 people. I couldn't feel my left foot for almost a year. I don't know what happened. It was really cold and it froze and it probably wasn't good. But it didn't matter. It didn't matter. Like, we were going to get there. We were going to win. We were not going to be denied. What is our mentality? I apologize for keeping... using Marine Corps analogies, but it's just what I know. It's just what I know. But, you know, they trained me for something. You know, it wasn't always pleasant. It wasn't always good. But the victories were great. The victories were awesome. Because you could look back and see what you went through and say, yep, I did that. I could do more. I can do more. I can go further next time. I can push myself further. And that was limitations, a physical limitation. Imagine with Christ. You know, at some point, our bodies would have shut down and we wouldn't have been able to do anything else. That doesn't happen with Christ. That doesn't happen in the Spirit. I don't care what physical condition you are, and that's why a lot of times we need to close our eyes. Because if I look at myself in the mirror too long, I start talking myself out of things. But if I close my eyes And I just look to him. And I see how he sees me. And I see the abilities that he's putting in me and the things that he wants me to do. It charges you up. Your mentality will change. Will we see ourselves with his endurance, his focus, his love for others? Hebrews 12:3, "For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and your heart gives up." Consider him. Think about him. Know him. Have relationship with him. Because he's our endurance. Jesus is what keeps us going. Focusing on him and not the things that are happening around us. I mean, I spend a couple of minutes of day just even looking at headlines, and it just sucks the life out of me. You know? Are we a part of this world? Not that we don't care. Not that we don't do our responsibilities as citizens and everything else. But what are we focusing on? What are you filling yourself with? What are the seeds that you're planting in your body right now, in your mind right now? Are they building endurance? Are they building an attitude of, I will not be denied? Focus on Jesus, his life and death and love. That's where our strength and endurance come from. His love and endurance cleansed us of all unrighteousness, washed our sins away, gave us a hope and a future, provided grace and mercy, gives us everything we need to live this life for him for all eternity. We don't have to worry about the future because we know what the future holds. Stop making everything so narrow. This life is just a fleeting glimpse of eternity. And are we going to let it drag us down? Are we going to let it change our minds about who Christ is? Because it says many will be turned in the last days. Why will they be turned? Because they don't know who Jesus is. I think we're already seeing it. Let's determine within ourselves that he is the only way. Not our way, not anything we do. He is the only way. And let him fill you. Because he wants to. He's just sitting there. Come on, come on. You know, it's like people in leadership. You know, when I was in leadership in the Marine Corps, I could see the potential in people. You can see the potential in people. But I can't coax everything out of them. Just like everything in this life, they had to make a choice. And if they made a certain choice, I could keep pushing them forward. I could keep building them up. If we make certain choices, Christ can keep pushing us forward. Christ can keep building us up. But are we making those choices that are healthy? Or are we making the choices that put us in bondage? It's our choice. He's there. He wants us. But it's our choice. Break the bondage of condemnation and put your trust and belief in what he has done. He's done it all. He's done it all. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. He's done it all. He's waiting for us to grasp it. You know? He loves us. So a couple quick scriptures here on love, and then I'll wrap up. Proverbs 10:12, "Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all sins." Proverbs 17:9, "He who covers in transgression seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates friends." That's an awesome verse on forgiveness, in my opinion. When we forgive somebody, have we truly forgiven them, or are we going to the next person and going, you know, I forgave them, but I still can't believe they did this to me. And I still can't believe this, and I still... Is that what Jesus is doing to the Father right now? You know what, Dad? I know I forgave them, And I know I covered their sins and whatnot, but oh my gosh. They just keep doing this and doing it and doing it. Like, you know, that's not forgiveness. Jesus forgave our sins. Threw them away as far as the east is from the west. As far as my knowledge, I don't think we know that distance yet. As far as I know, anyway. Is that how we're walking this life of love out? Is that how, are we letting Jesus express this kind of love through us? 1 Peter 4:8, above all things, have unfailing love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. The root is love. The root is love. Love, love, love. And one more. 1 Corinthians 13. If I can remember my code. 1 Corinthians 13, starting in verse 4. Love suffers long and is kind. Now this is Jesus' love towards us. Because none of us can walk this love out. You know, when you're reading this, don't try to put it in the perspective of this is what I have to do. Because none of us can love like this. But this is the kind of love that we have in us that can flow out of us because of what Jesus did for us. Love suffers long and is kind. Love envies not. Love flaunts not itself and is not puffed up. Does not behave itself improperly. Seeks not its own. Is not easily provoked. Thinks no evil. Rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Christ's love has endured everything for us. He took everything for us. So that we can walk this life out in fullness. So that we can walk this life out in true relationship with Him. And it starts with love. I couldn't do anything until I let Him fix my heart concerning love. Because I was hard, I was bitter, I was angry. I can't help people if that's what's inside of me. As much as I want to, as much as I even know I should, because what's in my heart comes out. You know, I could fake it for a while, but it always ends up coming out. Always. What's in your heart is going to come out, and I had no love for people. And eventually it came out. But we're making up for all that now. Jesus is love. His love provides the endurance, the strength, everything we need to keep going forward. It's His love that's going to renew our minds, transform our minds. Just like He was transfigured on the mount, our minds can be transformed like that. Let His love endure in your heart and through this walk. So we'll pray and then we'll get out of here. Father, we thank You that You are so good. You are so good. Your love endures forever. Your mercy endures forever. And Father, I thank You that we can have this kind of relationship. I thank You for Your revelation knowledge that brings forth the wisdom that we need to walk this life out, the love that we need to walk this life out, and it's all about You, Lord. I thank You that as we go out this week, opportunity after opportunity after opportunity for growth, Father. For growth personally, for growth with friends and family. And we know You are faithful, Father. You are faithful to give us the words to say. You are faithful to give us the courage that we need to speak up in boldness for You, Father. And we thank You for all this in Jesus' name. Amen.